you're not Queen, you're not Taylor Swift, like making a song over 5 minutes, or really honestly, like even hitting that 4 minute mark sometimes,
yeah,
can be really, it's really, really difficult.
Hi, and welcome back to Successfully Unsigned. I am Dale Shack, and not only am I right now, but also this episode is filmed here at my studio, Studio Shack. As always, we're excited to bring you advice about the music industry, which we like to call professional music advice from unprofessionals. We are Successfully Unsigned. As you're about to hear in this episode, we get back into the topic of what makes a song catchy, what makes it worthwhile to produce, what makes it worthwhile to release over maybe some of your other music, and tips and tricks you can take on how to tailor the songs you've already written into something that's going to be more commercially appealing to make money. This includes things like song structure and song length. If you want to hear the first bit of our conversation, you can look back at our website at su-podcast.com or go back to our YouTube channel, Spotify, or Apple Podcast account and find all of our previous episodes where we talk about some of these same topics in different details. If you have any comments or thoughts or anything from your own experience that you would like to add to this conversation, we would love to hear from you. You can message us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. You can find us on TikTok at Unsigned Podcast, or you can drop your comment and your thought in the comments below. But while you're there on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Samsung Podcasts or wherever you might happen to be, then do us a huge favor and rate our podcast with a 5-star. Hit that like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, and let us know where you're listening from. I hope this episode is both educational and fun for you as much as it was for us.
We in the shack.
Every time.
I'm on track, living my life. I got racks on racks. I got stacks on stacks. We in the shack, shack, shack. And we back, we back. Welcome to Successfully Unsigned.
Was that a well-structured song, y'all?
Was that a well-structured?
I don't know. I don't think it was.
I think it was.
Objectively, was it?
We will find that out tonight, because our topic tonight is what makes your song complete?
Or why does no one want to listen to your music?
Yeah.
Patrick. Why does nobody want to listen to your music, Patrick?
Oh.
I haven't released it yet because I just know that I'd be topping the charts.
At least you have a
shower
excuse.
Songs. I'm just
songs to belt in the shower.
Yeah.
I feel like Naked Day. I forgot a plushie to hold because I always hold one.
Yeah, you do.
House.
Yeah. You either have a blanket.
I forgot an item. Mm. So I had to grab one for my car. So
good.
I'm just feeling all sort of like.
You're in disarray today.
You still have the necklace, though.
I do have a necklace. Nice. I have my Glitch Gum shirt. Yeah, shout out to Glitch Gum.
And then Jolly Rancher socks. You're good, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're set.
I got a legit question for you right now, Patrick. With that necklace, how do you wear it? Does it not tickle your chin?
It does sometimes. It just depends.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
a good point.
If I'm like way down here, it will, but for the most part, it's fine.
Ever make you, you know, bust out like the Pillsbury Doughboy, like,
no.
Is it getting your chin just right?
First off, they poke his belly.
I know.
Yeah.
Second off, no.
Okay. Mm. It was a serious question.
It was a was bad it? Question. It was a dumb question.
I mean, most of mine are, so, you know.
Mm. Well, I guess we'll start with some show and yell to get this going. Dale, yeah. Did you want to begin?
Yeah. I'll start. I have a hand-beaded leather bag. This is a pretty cool little leather bag that I was given here just a couple weeks ago from my friend, somebody that I met this year at the Chickasaw Nation Art Academy. I'd been following her for a while. She does a bunch of different artwork and stuff like that, beading being one of them. She's also on a podcast in Chinua if you want to find that. Anyway, she beaded this.
Okay, you need to spell that for people. Because people are just gonna
in Chinua, I think it's INCHUWA. I'll throw it on the screen and drop it in the comments in case my memory is failing me how she spells that right off.
What's Choctaw, it even about?
It's about Choctaw art, specifically like traditional like tattoos and things like that.
Okay.
In a lot of the southeastern tribes.
Have to give her a follow.
So some interesting stuff there. She's got different interviews on there as well. Anyway, but she beaded this. Based off of, as we were doing like the Art Academy, we collectively, like as a group, a lot of us went to different places. And this was a couple of, kind of inspired by a couple of the places that we all kind of went. And she's like, hey, thought of you, sent it to me. So
that's awesome, dude.
Pretty cool little piece. Pretty cool little piece.
Like, what's on the picture on it?
So on the photo on the beadwork, there's a mound, kind of reminiscent of the Chicksaw Cultural Center that a whole bunch of us went to on the Saturday, nice. Along with a fish on top of the pole for the stickball pole.
Very cool.
Stuff like that. It's kind of a mixture of both Kalihoma and the Chicksaw Cultural Center.
Nice.
It that kinda, like a whole bunch of us ended up going to. So
dope. Yeah. Kind of looks like a level in Mario too. Let's see again.
The coloration is kind of a little bit. Yeah. I can see that. It's really cool. Really cool. So may end up putting, I don't know, guitar picks or who knows
what. That's it, yeah, it's dope, so, man. Love it.
Love
that's
it.
That's my piece.
Boom. Patrie.
Miss Piggy race car. Shut up and drive. This is my Miss Piggy race car from 1983, I want to say.
Wow. Oldie but goodie.
Hold on. She does come out of her car. She rides around in my car with me, so we're always driving together.
Nice.
1988, sorry. Same year as my sister.
Wow.
And she's super cute. I found her at a flea market, and I knew I instantly had to have her and have her drive with me. And one time I was getting my oil changed, and the guy was trying to reach into my, like, what's that thing called? Little screen with your gas and everything.
Dashboard? Not dashboard.
What's it called? You're the car
speedometer,
dude.
Speedometer?
Yeah.
You're talking, I mean, it's part of your dashboard. Yeah.
Okay.
Dashboard.
Anyway, he reached in there and I was like, and he was like trying to see like my mileage and all that. I was like, oh, let me just move Miss Piggy real quick. And he was just like,
it's not amusing.
But now I don't have a car to where she can sit by my speedometer, but she does still sit like below the gear shift and everything, next to my bag of coins and our successfully unsigned business card. So nice. She's always marketing. I love the Muppets, specifically Miss Piggy. The Muppets are everything.
Making my way downtown, walking fast. So instrument cluster is the specific term for that area. But yeah.
Okay, so why didn't you say that?
Because I forgot it. Okay. I was like, I can't think of what it is. Yeah. Instrument panel, instrument cluster. Yeah. Mm. All right. Mr. David. No.
It's a pitch pipe. This was my dad's pitch pipe. I've cleaned it thoroughly. But yeah, he used to lead singing at my church, and I just always wanted one, you know. Yeah. Just like it helps with singing, you know, when you're about to start a song, you're just like, oh, E flat. You know, and just you're there. And it's also like really calming too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a harmonica, but sometimes I was gonna say,
have you ever picked up harmonica?
Like, I really want to try and, I don't know, use it in a sample or something. Are you looking for a harmonica?
Yeah, I have one up here somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah, hold on.
You can harmonize. What note is that? Do you know?
I think
guitar.
A perfect pitch.
G.
You're absolutely right. Good job, Dale. What's this one? Ready? Do you know?
E.
Absolutely. Good ear. Yeah, it's got an ear on him. One last one. Ready?
That would be
this one's tricky. Trocky. This one's tricky because it's lower.
Pitch pipe EDM.
C. D.
D.
Just fun.
Anyway,
okay,
our new theme song, everyone.
We're done. But yeah, that's my show and yell.
Reminded me of it. This time when I was like 12, this is so mean. There was this kid at camp who was very obnoxious and rude. And
you shouldn't talk about yourself that way.
But he was in our friend group. And then there was this other kid who was like kind of dorky. I actually really like him. Like, he's a very super nice kid. But he was kind of dorky, especially back then. And we were all roller skating. And I forget what happened, but the like nerdy kid said something to this mean kid of basically being like, "Hey, you can't do that." And the mean kid goes, "Go blow your pitch pipe."
Oh.
Because he would like lead singing it.
Yeah.
So for years that has stuck with me. Like, yeah. When I think about a pitch pipe, I think, go blow your pitch pipe.
Yeah. And I would happily go do it. I'm like, yeah, I actually kind of wanted to do that anyway. So
shout out to, actually, I won't say their name, but.
Yeah. Shout out to Nerdy Kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to you, Nerdy Kid.
You know, those pitch pipes are a lot like those tuning forks that they hit.
Yeah.
Ding.
I like those things that like have mouths. Hmm? They're like shaped like a music note. They have Kirby ones. And you like squeeze them and open up their mouth. They're like, ah, nah, nah.
Hmm.
Oh, nah.
Sounds like
nah.
Disney something.
Nah, nah, nah.
I don't know. I see videos of them all the time. I think they're an instrument technically of some sort. I don't really know. You would know if I showed you them.
You had to be there. I had to be there.
I think I'd rather not be there if that's...
No, I think you'd like them.
It sounds a lot like your creepy little dolls that like
No.
Oh my goodness.
The it's dolls. Not like that.
What are those called? The clown?
Sing-a-ma-jigs.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Which, sing-a-ma-jigs have great song structure. Know who else has great song structure? You, hopefully.
After if this not, episode, you will.
After this episode, you will.
So strap in, nerds. I'm kidding.
Go blow your pitch pipe and get ready.
Go blow your pitch pipe and get ready for this next segment. We'll be right back with our topic tonight. Nerds.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys. Welcome back. The great mystery of this episode has been solved. They're called automatones, something like that.
Mm.
Dale will insert a picture, won't you, Dale?
Tommy Toes. I'm not inserting a picture of those creepy things. We want to turn our followers away.
They're not creepy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They've been around for years.
Once you hear them, you'll know.
Yeah, they've been around for years. I remember seeing them like when I was in like middle school. But today we are talking about, as we've said, how to structure your song. How do you know your song is complete? Looking at your song objectively and knowing that sometimes you gotta sacrifice a little bit of the art for the sake of people actually wanting to listen to your song. Because while you think that your song should and could be 8 minutes long, the reality is if you're a small artist...
Or 10 minutes.
If you're a small artist, not a billionaire, people probably are not going to listen to the full thing or even tap it to listen to a minute of it, because they're gonna be like, 8 minutes, who does this person think they are? So just different things like that, and they're gonna talk kind of about their experiences writing songs, mixing songs, producing songs, etc. And I'm gonna talk about it from an audience perspective, as I usually do, and how I view music.
Well, let's open it up this way. What about when you're listening to a song, like what like breaks a flow for a song for you? Like, let's say you're getting into it, it's a nice verse, and it gets to the chorus. Like, what makes you go like, oh, that didn't work?
Sometimes when there seems to be like a lot of buildup and then it never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
That especially will like bring a song down. It's like, oh, I could like see the potential, Or we've discussed this before, especially with TikTok. Like, TikTok will hook you in with like one certain part of the song.
Yes.
And then you go to listen to the rest of it and you're like,
underwhelming.
I really only like this 20 seconds of this song, but all right.
Well, it did its job.
Yeah.
Got you there.
That is true. That is true. But yeah, especially when like there is some sort of buildup or like I feel like I'm wanting more. As far as like choruses go, I don't know. It just depends. Like, I am someone who's actually pretty easy to please when it comes to music. And, you know, I think a lot of us, if you're in the music industry, you hopefully have like a vast library of music that you listen to. As far as genres go, you listen to all different kinds of genres, hopefully. But that being said, like, there are certain songs where you just listen, you're like, it's not for me. I don't get it. But then there are other songs sometimes that you listen to and you're like, okay, but who is this for? Because it's just not hitting for anyone.
Well, there's some like tactics in songs that I'm still trying to like get behind, like chanting for me in songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It just takes me kind of out of it unless it's like the right. I don't know. I can think of one song by Taking Back Sunday that I like that has chanting in it. And it's not even like chanting. It's just like saying, hey. You know, well, collectively.
What are you defining as chanting in a song? Are you talking about like when it's
in like a chorus, like singing a chorus, but it's like group.
It's like big group, like,
yeah, like big sort of, you're in a gymnasium and you're like, everyone sing, you know, like it's that.
So see, that's funny because I love that.
So you don't like,
yeah.
So it's like High School Musical, like,
what time is it? Summertime, it's our vacation.
Like that kind of kids boppy stuff during choruses.
Well, I guess it depends. So like, okay, for example, Dale has a song called Home and he brought all of us in to, so David hates your song apparently.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
It's okay.
But he brought a bunch of us in to sing the chorus of it and that was a lot of fun. And there's like, to me, I can like hear through the song like, oh, like this is a really fun moment. Or I just saw Bowling for Soup and their song Ohio, Come Back to Texas, has a part like toward the end, I guess, after the bridge. And it like turns into more, I guess, of an acoustic kind of style. And it's like everyone can like, come back to Texas. And it's like this fun, sort of deal.
I feel that.
So are you talking about that or are you talking about something else?
So I think chanting when used like on a last chorus or something that's supposed to be more like emotional, like it should build. I don't like it in my face immediately. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I don't like.
So you don't like it for like
every chorus. No, that like makes sense. I want a little bit intimacy in the chorus with the artist a little bit to be like, hey, like, what's the song? What are we trying to do here? You know? I want you as an artist to tell me and then bring all your friends in and then they can tell me as well.
Okay. I can get behind that.
And so I don't know, just like stuff like that. And then I know this is like genre specific, but like everything has to have like an Alvin and the Chipmunks build up now. Okay.
That I would agree with.
Like, but that's like more EDM. You have to be into that. Like that's a genre.
Even so, you think about like the Chainsmokers and Zedd and all of them, like kind of I think of that kind of music, I think like 2016, 2017, where you're like, okay, like I love Closer by the Chainsmokers, but like there's other songs that I'm just like, okay, this just sounds like such generic Forever 21 pop. Yeah.
So wake me up when it's all over. And they like redid that song to where it's like a sort of like a house thing.
Yeah.
Fine, cool, whatever. Played at weddings or whatever. But I don't know. That's one thing for me that's like kind of a turnoff, but among other things. But length also.
I think length is probably the biggest thing that a lot of people can relate to because, like we said, you know, you're not Queen, you're not Taylor Swift, like making a song over 5 minutes, or really honestly, like even hitting that 4 minute mark sometimes, can be really, it's really, really difficult. I think it works for some artists, even who are smaller. Or I think about Julie Strawbridge, who we've had on. Mm-hmm. She's my favorite songwriter. I think she is a brilliant
She's a gem for
songwriter.
Sure.
But In her album Jokes About the Rapture, like, she has a lot of long songs. To me, that works because I love her songwriting. But I can also see how someone would listen to it and, you know, maybe like, oh, well, this is really long. But also, she's doing it in an album versus like, oh, let me, like, all of her singles are typically shorter. She's not dropping, you know, a 7-minute song for a single and expect being like, why is it not getting a ton of streams, you know?
It's like,
and it goes back to knowing your audience too,
should,
I guess.
Yeah, you should think about your songs as like sort of a book. Like, if you turn over the back of the book, you know, you have like a little synopsis. That should be sort of like your hit or whatever, like your shorter song.
That's a good and way of looking at that.
You open the book and there's the chapters, and then you can give them the meat and potatoes of like your catalog, you know. But you want, initially you want those songs that are, I mean, having the link part of it, just that eliminates a lot of the commercial element already. Yeah. Like, if your song is spec length, it's like, okay, it doesn't matter if it's a verse and a chorus and one bridge. Like, it's still at length.
Yeah, but, I mean, and if you get too long, I know that radio is not as big as it once was, but if it gets too long of a song, you're not going to get it on radio. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not going to happen unless you do a special radio edit where... Mm-hmm. You're cutting the song down to fit mm-hmm. that length, because they calculate out their times for, you know, okay, we can fit in so many songs because we know every song is between 3 and 4 minutes. Again, 4 is kind of long. I wrote a song yesterday and I sat down and just hit record on my just on my phone, just kind of to capture the idea of it. And it came in at 3 minutes and 58 seconds. And my first thought was, ugh, that's longer than I want, because, nobody's going to listen to this. Now, to be fair, in that, you know, I was just recording it right after having written it. So there's mistakes. That's going to cut some time down, mm-hmm. you know, the time to hit the record, swap over apps to my lyrics. That's going to cut some time down. So I'm probably realistically looking at, you know, maybe 3 minutes and 45 seconds, you know. Or maybe 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
And the chances are, when you play it enough, you'll play it faster too.
Exactly. So, like, you'll get concise and you know, you'll streamline it. But even still, even if it's 3 minutes 50 seconds, that's longer than I want for a song like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm trying to find commercial success with it.
Yeah.
Especially because it's not going in an album. Yeah. When you're in an album and you have fans that are dedicated there to you, your sound, your music, your writing style, your everything, they will listen. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love some of the longer songs of some of my favorite artists. But if that was the first song of theirs I'd heard,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, not because those songs are bad songs, but because you don't know what to look for and expect. That's the biggest thing. You don't know what to expect, and so you're not going to appreciate it, right? Yeah.
Agreed. And let's talk about the most important part of a song, the intro, right? How do you guys notice a theme with intros of songs in your like library? Like a type of intro that you just like, do you prefer lyrics immediately? Do you prefer sort of a round of instruments to kind of get, do you prefer hearing a beat and like a rhythm and getting into the song first? Or like, what do you guys usually?
Well, I have a feeling Patrick and I are going to be opposite on this, because in this regard, we're just in typical normal taste.
Yeah.
We're also opposite. Whereas, as we've discussed on this podcast, and as Patrick and I have discussed just as independently of this in other situations, you typically listen to lyrics and words first, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a guess that you probably like lyrics faster off the start of the song than I do, would be my assumption. I could be wrong on that.
It depends. It just depends on the kind of music, right? Like,
it's true.
I don't know. It really just depends. Like, there are some songs, like, especially if it's a little more jazzy or classical or, like, instrument heavy, where I'm like, yeah, I can appreciate a really... okay. Good example, I was listening to You Like the Blues by Annie Schur earlier today. She's a local artist here, and it has this beautiful like piano intro, and then it starts, and like, I love the whole song, but I really love the intro. I really love the chorus too. And so it's, I don't know, it just depends. Or like, okay, Good by Anastasia Elliott. Go watch our live session of us doing that. First off, it starts off I think the first 50 seconds are like super, 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 super quiet to where you can like barely, if you're in a car, you won't hear it. If you have headphones on, you'll hear it, but it's very faint. Now, do I typically skip the first 50 seconds? Yes. But the first time I listened to it, I didn't. And even so, once I only skip to where I can start to hear it in my car, typically is where I'm listening. And it still has like an instrumental buildup, but that is a very like classical, like beautiful song versus if I'm listening to, you know, LOL, It's Leah, she kind of has this punchy, like,
yeah,
I mean, and her songs are short too, yeah, like grab them,
yep,
get you,
yep,
and all those kinds of things. So it really depends on the genre, it depends on the song.
So it goes but, back yeah. to what I mentioned a moment ago of it all depends on what your audience expects,
yeah.
You know, so as you write your own music, as you're, you know, trying to figure out this new tune, know what your genre expects, know what your specific sound within that genre expects, know your own strengths and weaknesses in that too. Because if you are, you know, if you're pushing yourself as an artist or a band as, hey, we are very vocal and lyric forward, we're vocal and lyric heavy, like that's why people listen to you. Maybe don't do a 50 second like intro if that's what you're known for. Don't do a minute long intro if you are known for specifically your vocals, unless you're trying to do like a avant-garde, like totally side off the wall kind of album piece. But again, we're talking about, I think, mostly singles and mostly like trying to gain a new audience. Know what you're known for. If you are known as an instrument forward group, like let's say you're the Allman Brothers, you're going to do a minute long intro, maybe a 3 minute intro. Of course, their entire songs are all instrumental.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at like even the Eagles, who were known, yes, as lyricists and amazing lyrics, but also really superb musicians. They could get away with stuff like that because that's what they were known and that's what their audience expected out of them. The genre at that point in time also expected.
I was going to say, I feel like that's also a different thing. Like, we're just in a different time and the Eagles like 4 or 5 minute songs were a lot more acceptable and just
encouraged,
encouraged, whereas like now people are now bored. Like they're saying sometimes, you know, really max 2.5.
People's attention span just, is literally this guys.
And once again, TikTok plays such a huge role into this, whether you like it or not. Of like
15 seconds.
That's where people are going to hear your music a lot of the time. And if you have like, you know, a good 30 seconds in your song that grabs people's attention, now I think you should really make sure the rest of the song is just as good / entertaining. But even so, like that is what is important to people. But also if they see that 30 seconds and then go to Spotify and see that it's a 5 minute song, they may not listen to the whole thing.
Okay, so I have a side question for y'all. This is a personal pet peeve of mine, and I want to know where y'all sit. If you're...
We're sitting right here on your couch.
Yeah. You're right. But when you're riding down the road, not driving, your passenger or your backseat or whatever, whoever's driving or whoever has control of the music, let's say, is listening to stuff and then just starts, you know, they'll listen to half a song and skip. Half a song and skip. Does that bother you, or are you one of the people that does that?
I do it. I don't care.
100%. Really? Yeah.
But it's funny because we have friends that it bothers them.
I can't stand it.
And oh, really?
I can't stand it.
Well, here's my thing. Sometimes it depends. If we're like on, you know, an hour drive, then I'm like, sure, we'll listen to the whole thing. But if we're driving for 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, well, I've listened to the chorus of this song. Let's move on because I want to listen to different songs as well and get as much music time in as possible. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I still do it.
Okay. David?
I think the reason I do it is because as an artist, I'm so used to like keeping that adrenaline going of like feeling a song. So like when you create a song, you're like constantly like, okay, am I feeling this? Am I feeling this? Am I feeling this? And when it gets to the part you're not feeling, you have to like amend that. And so naturally when I'm listening to a song, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it. I'm not feeling it. And then I'd skip it because I'm like, I want to feel that again. I want to feel that rush of adrenaline and just like, not adrenaline, but you know, like, what is the chemical or whatever? Like
dopamine
from hearing a song you like and like really just, you ever just have like a thought about it and just,
I'll literally say, okay, I've had enough.
Yes.
Like, just skip to the next one. Whether if that, maybe this song has been on repeat, like full length on repeat for weeks.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, I got like my little fill of it for today. On to the next one.
Life's too short.
And like eventually it'll fade out of my on repeat.
See, I'm the complete opposite. Like if I start a song, I want to listen to the entirety, including till the last note completely fades out. Like that's another slight pet peeve of mine. If I'm sitting in the car listening to a song with somebody and it gets to the end and, you know, they hit that last chord and it's ringing out and then somebody skips it before the fades up. I'm like,
yeah,
sometimes that bothers me if I'm like, no, that's still a beautiful thing.
Well, it's still not just that it's still a beautiful thing, not just that it's a production thing, but that I feel like I've lost something. I feel like something's been ripped out of me when I'm like,
okay, well, that's a bit dramatic.
It is dramatic. And I'm trying to describe it in the most dramatic way I can, but I'm like, I feel all of a sudden like tense. I'm like, ah,
so
it's not done. Why would you get a whole slice of cake and then eat all but like the last slice?
But like, right? Let's say it's a cake that you don't like.
Cake you don't like, don't start it.
Okay.
But like, if we like you use the analogy of we're all in a car and you're a passenger.
Right.
So if the driver likes it and you don't,
right?
No, then skip it. Does that still bother you?
That is a little different situation. Yeah, because you
skip "Call Me Maybe" in the middle of the song once. Yeah, I did. I was very mad at you.
They said leave a voicemail.
There are times like if I'm you know controlling music and with other people, I'm more likely to skip songs than trying to tailor what I can to the overall mood of the car. That's a different situation. The whole call, you're still staring me down for this. I hate that song.
And I hate you.
I know you do.
Ooh.
You know, but you can kick me out of the car if you want. But all that being said, I will try to skip songs like, okay, I don't think, or if I can tell like, okay, everybody's just bored right now. Like, oh, we like the first part of the song, but then everybody just got bored. I might skip it then in the sake of a road case, and like a road trip.
Yeah.
Just to try, you know, if you're in that hype mode, right, and everybody's like having a good time,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might then for that reason, but I'm never, if I'm just like chilling, if I'm just driving and if it's me and one other person and we're just like doing whatever, I'm not going to be skipping songs in the middle of the song personally.
It's important. That's why it's important to have playlists, guys. Make a play, like a road playlist. Trip playlist.
Or
so you're not getting crazy songs in the middle of a road trip.
If you're DJing, cue up songs. Like, that's what I do. Yeah. But I am remembering one time that me and Atlanta from Hexproof were going to Nashville and Dale was with us. And I don't know, we were playing hype music and then Dale was like, can I play a song? I was like, yeah, sure. And he plays Cocaine and Abel by Amigo the Devil, which is a very like depressing, slow song. And me and Atlanta are like side-eyeing each other like, what? Is this man okay? Like, he just brought the mood down.
It isn't like hype mood, but it's like a different mood, not necessarily a down mood. Okay,
but compared to like what we were playing.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But see, I'm also not generally speaking a hype music person. Like I very, very rarely listen to hype music stuff. So if you look at my playlist or the stuff that's on repeat, it's all going to be slower jams.
Yeah.
Well, but that's why you always cater to the car. I just took a 3-hour trip and like the people I was in the car with are also not like hype music people. Mm-hmm. So I queued up a whole bunch of like soft songs that I like, some that I know that they would like too. Mm-hmm. But also like we're talking in the car, so I know, you know, we're not going to be blasting anything crazy.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the car with like Atlanta or something, I'm like, okay, I know like we're both ready to party, so let's crank it. So it just depends.
Yeah.
It is a completely different
topic. However, it does tie back in the sense of like if you're writing music, once again, know what your audience is looking for when they're listening to your stuff. Especially if you have, you know, a handful of releases already out and you're working on, say, your fourth, fifth, sixth song or something like that. And you have kind of an established pattern. Not to say that you can't break that pattern. Not to say that you can't say, hey, I want to do something different. And if you have all fast stuff, do a slow song. Not to say you can't do that. But do know what your audience expects, right? If you are a, say, if you're a hip-hop artist, you're not going to just randomly release, you know, a Megadeth single, typically. Like, it'd be kind of weird. And your audience would be like, huh? Why are you doing this? Right. In fact, we've talked about that kind of concept on the podcast of like rebranding where artists have taken like, hey, we want to completely shift our image from one genre to another. Sometimes you can do that. And there are ways absolutely that you can do that. But be aware if you're trying to build your first established presence as an artist online or anywhere, you know what your audience is expecting when they get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be able to be able to perform that, because if you're trying to make a business out of it, that will get people to come back. People yeah. want something that is familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of going back to intros real quick, like songs that have, I know a lot of like R&B and hip hop songs, sometimes they'll just do like a couple chords, right? Like they just kind of repeat musically, like a certain vibe, rhythm section wise. I find that adding like organic elements into that helps kind of captivate the audience too.
What do you mean by organic?
So for instance, on this song that I'm working on, the intro started with just the music at first, and it was just like the four bars, and then verse was in, and I was like, this is boring. Like if people aren't attached to the, you know, they're gonna turn it. And so I'm like, okay, what can I add? And so I found this like old voicemail from my girlfriend where like...
That'll always get them.
Yeah.
They're here for the tea. That's me. Yeah. Like if you put a voicemail or something yeah. in, oh, I'm there.
That's what I'm saying. So I put it at the intro.
Yep.
And nice. It's like her leaving a voicemail or whatever. And it's kind of a captivating voicemail because like it sounds serious and stuff. It really wasn't like, but it sounds serious. And it like fit the intro perfectly. Nice. And by the time that ends, you're into the verse. And it's like, okay, the verse, you ride the verse. And it's like, and then you're into the chorus and you're riding the chorus. And then I'm kind of figuring out that verse two area right now on how to like keep people in. But I know that that last chorus out, because the song is only like 2.5 minutes. Like it's 2 minutes and 18 seconds long. It's so short. And so it's like you were talking about with Leah's songs, right? Like she takes you for a ride. She picks you up. She puts you on the wagon and she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're like, oh, I'm dizzy, the ride's over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of an approach that I kind of like to take now of like, or I'm trying to take now of like, okay, let's blitz them with something. How can we take my usual old process of like an emotional journey of a song and just do the, and like squish it down like this? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, the voicemail intro, that's going to get them in. A verse that is intimate and gives people a sense, like tells the story, sets up the exposition, right? You want a verse that does that lyrically, that gives that exposition to like, where are we? What are we doing? Because like now that they're in the door, they're looking around the room and they're going, okay, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the chorus and that's supposed to be where the emotion comes in. Okay, now I'm feeling comfortable. Now we're grooving. And then that second verse is where I get stuck, because what do you want from a second verse? You know, like what? And I love a lot of second verses in songs, like in particular, like pop songs. Because, you know, a lot of pop songs will have like no drums in the first verse. And it'll just be like lyrics and like these like poppy synths and guitars and pianos. And then you'll get to the second verse and it's like, okay, there's a beat now to mm-hmm. add to that. Mm-hmm. And so you're like riding that. And then once you're in the chorus, it's like familiar again. So it's like that's, you've got them back. So as long as you had them in the first chorus, there's a good chance you'll have them in the second one. So what about... like we briefly talked about this with Anna, but like bridges.
Ooh.
Bridges don't, it really exist anymore in songs. Like bridges aren't like today songs. It's like either a down chorus seems like, yeah. or like a little bit of an instrumental or a, it's like, it's just too much, you know, or it's not enough. And so what are you guys are bridges going to be like gone by the time?
I don't know that I'd say know? They're gone, burn the bridge. But they're definitely yeah. changing and they are different. Like, yeah. again, we talked about earlier, you know, the Eagles, right? You'd go back and look at their bridges. What did they look like? They mm-hmm. were guitar solos. They were, you know, an accordion. So, well, the Eagles, I don't think did an accordion solo, but like you could have all kind of weird, wacky, random things. Like the bridge was the time to do that. I personally really love and miss the time, that era of rock where you'd have just a straight up drug trip chorus, or not chorus, drug trip bridge, You know, I think about like Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah.
Is like that. Yeah. You're going, it's hard, it's heavy. Then all of a sudden you're like,
yeah.
Like, I've never done shrooms, but it feels like shrooms were had in that bridge, right?
Everything is crazy.
Everything just like drops out and like it goes to halftime half the time and just smooths out.
Yeah.
And then it comes back in for a final chorus. It creates, to me, a really good contrast of, you know, energetic music to, oh, hey, hold up, let's slow down, but then let's punch it again at the end.
Right.
Right. I love that. I miss that. But I don't think that's coming back. Not in mass. Not in mass.
Probably not. No. All right. Do we want to take a break and come back?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We hope that you subscribe to the channel while you were away. And also like this video, and also commented on this video, and also shared this video, and also went to our website, su-podcast.com.
You're getting so much better at that, David.
I'm like more conscious of it now, so I'm doing better.
SU. I miss the SU days.
You
SU.
Know, there's this whole plot line. We need to watch Josie and the Pussycats, y'all. I'm telling you, is like the most genius movie ever. But the plot line in it is like to control teenagers and the music. And so like the government controls like what kind of music teenagers listen to and slash what's popular.
Yeah.
And it all has like subliminal messages in it that you can't hear. And it's like this whole storyline. But
is it like an old, like a really
old? 2001.
Okay.
Starring Rachel Lee Cook. And oh my goodness, I forget her name, but. Yeah. She plays Ahsoka. Is that?
Rosario Dawson?
Yes. Yes. Mm. And Tara Reid. Anyway, Parker Posey. Yeah. And in it, yeah, so they have these like subliminal messages that you can't hear, but it like, it'll make the teenagers be like, oh yes, I need a Big Mac. Like, I need a Big Mac.
I mean, I do need a Big Mac, but.
So we need to do that.
Yeah.
Y'all need to start putting in your songs. Where no one can hear, but like subliminal messages of just go listen to Successfully Unsigned, go listen to Successfully Unsigned. Yeah. You love Successfully Unsigned, go subscribe to Successfully Unsigned.
Yeah. Let's brainwash these nerds.
Yeah, if you do love Successfully Unsigned, do everything that David said earlier. Like it, subscribe, comment, rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Yep. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok, Successfully_Unsigned and Unsigned TikTok.
Give us Unsigned Podcast on TikTok.
Yeah,
give us also a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have you have time. Do it now.
During a bridge of a song, go do it.
Pause it right now. Ready?
Mannequin challenge.
Go get it. Leave us a review. But we're glad you're back, and we're glad you've done all of that. And we are gonna cap this topic. And I just wanted to like kind of piggyback off of what you were talking about with the drug choruses or the drug bridges as you call it.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because people don't value instrumentals anymore as much, or do you think that that's because people have no attention span anymore, or a little bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both because, like we've discussed just earlier, a lot of people, especially if you've already heard the song before, you're not making it to the bridge if you're riding down the road, apparently. I don't know. At least in this podcast, I'm in the minority of that. Like,
I want to make it clear. I don't skip every song listen to.
Like, I skip like just virtually no song. Like, I'm on the other extreme end of that. I want to, skip it.
But you also will like go 12 hours and not listen to any music.
That's also true. That's also true. So I have some weird like music listening habits. So let's throw that out there.
Yeah.
I do think it is a mixture though of lack of attention span. And like, people aren't listening to music in this era in most of the top 40 style genres for the instrumentation of the music. That's not why people are there. If you listen, if you are there for the instrumentation of the music, you're listening to different genres, like bluegrass, like, you know, blues, like classical, like jazz, like, you know, any of those kind of organic genres that are still very instrument heavy, right? But if you're listening to a top 40 genre, everything's programmed, and you know that going into it. As a listener, you know that, right? You know that 75-80% of what you're listening to is programmed stuff. Doesn't devalue the art, but it's not the same type of music. It's not the same purpose. So why would you care as much about, like, ooh, wow, did you hear that lick? Because there probably wasn't one.
Yeah.
You know? Or if so, maybe it was a MIDI guitar that was done, you know, that took 20 minutes to do, but...
You also think about, like, back then, mm-hmm. it's physical media. So you have your records, you have your CDs, and especially on, like, a record, it's not easy to just kind of skip a song. So, like, if I'm listening a record, unless I just truly despise that song, even if I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's all right, I'm just going to let it play because I don't care enough to, like... find the precise spot where the needle needs to go.
Yeah, and that's radio too.
Radio,
I can remember my mom turning through the channels and, like, literally it's like we'd always end up on 107.5 the river. And it's like, well, I guess we're listening to Jay-Z for the next, you know, couple minutes.
Yeah.
Because nothing else was on, you know?
Yeah.
The times have changed.
They have changed. Mm-hmm. And I want to use sort of an analogy to the point I want to make of, like, your song should have, how do I say this? So it should have that quality that makes people, it should have that nostalgia. I don't even want to say nostalgia. It should have that emotion provoking quality to it. So I'll use this analogy because I think it kind of comes back. My niece had her birthday party this weekend. She's 3 years old. She's adorable. And, I was thinking about what to get her for her birthday. And I asked my sister, I was like, what are three-year-olds like? I don't even know. But you know, most three-year-olds, when they're at their birthday party, they'll get a present. They'll play with it for a second and they'll go, ding, put it right behind them. And then odds are they don't really touch it. You know, like they don't play with the toy for longer than, you know. You don't want your song to be like that. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want your song to be the fresh new thing that just gets kind of put on the back shelf. You want your song to have that longevity. And so what I did was I'm like, okay, put yourself in a three-year-old's shoes, David. So I did that.
Some mighty big shoes.
Big shoes for me. And so I'm like, okay, what as a three-year-old are you going to value about a gift? Okay. Is it something that when I'm bored, I can just, it's fun to touch, you know? Like, that's why kids love freaking Play-Doh. Because it's just like, oh, I'm bored. Yeah, there's Play-Doh. And then you're just messing with it. And it's fun, right? It's just something to touch and do in the moment. Mm. And so I'm like, just strolling through Walmart. What's good, Walmart? In an aisle, looking around. Oh, what's that? Boom, Exosketch. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I can remember having an Exosketch and just being like, what is this? And it just draws lines. And that toy has some mileage, guys. It's, as a baby, just think about it, as a kid, like a three-year-old, toddler, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this. And then I'm like, but I need something to go with it. I need something that's also fun to, like, snuggle and touch. And so, walking through the next aisle, what's good, Walmart? Boom, a Squirtle pillow. Now, does my niece know who Squirtle is? No. Will she ever? No. She will never know. But it was the cutest, brightest blue Squirtle I've ever seen. Let me tell you something. I got to that birthday party. Mom was the last gift that she opened, right? I can't tell you how many babies she got. She got like a lot of like little babies to take care of or whatever. She likes doing that. But she pulled out my gift, the Squirtle, and she automatically just started hugging it. And she put it down, started playing with her friends. She'd come back to it. She'd grab it again. She'd hug it again. She'd come back to it, and then all of her other friends kept hugging it. And I was like, oh, this Squirtle's a big hit. Mm-hmm. They don't know who Squirtle is. They have no idea what Pokemon is. But the toy has that quality of like, it's snuggly and it's cool and it's always going to be that. Like, she's going to snuggle that when she's 11 and 15. You know, it's like, it's going to be a cool retro thing that's sitting on her bed.
When she's on her podcast, when she's 25 years old, she's going to be holding it.
That's going to be her show and yell item.
Yes. Yep.
When we have her on the show in
20
years.
You would have brought the Squirtle for me because I'm missing my stuffed animal that I usually have.
But I say all that. There you go. I say all that to say, you want your song to have that quality of like, let's go back to it and it feels good. Yeah. So whether that be like, let's make it shorter or let's go take them for the ride, you know. I just think that that's...
Okay, that being said, what do you guys think about, like, certain bells and whistles? Like, I really love bells and whistles on songs of... Okay, like, even just the kind of chanty chorus at the end. Or, like, Billie Eilish used to do this a lot in, her earlier music of adding just random little sounds in there. Like, come on, dude, go trip over a knife.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of my favorite parts of My Boy, I think is what it's called. Yeah. And just different things like that, or like, I don't know, like a monologue, the voicemail, like I've heard people start a monologue or like put a little.
Yeah, like a 1930s movie monologue in
like,
there or
just
something.
Different like, things like that. I don't know. I love stuff like that.
It's a character.
Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. What about you?
I'm absolutely down for it. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. Other than
laughing at the end of songs. Yeah. I love laughing at the end of songs. Or just like I don't know.
At the beginning, like the Backstreet Boys song. Was that Larger Than Life or something?
Oh, I don't know. About that
my
one.
First thought was like,
more mean, like giggling. Like,
feel good so ink. Fun.
Oh, no, that one scares me. I mean, it's a good song. I like that song and I like that part, but it scares me.
So I'm a big fan of like... if it's done well, if it's done right, when a song at the very end decomposes to like what it sounds like, just like a room mic of them having fun singing.
Yeah, that's
the song.
What I mean.
Kind of like, you know, we've talked about like Khalid stuff in the past, like American Teen ends that way. Mm-hmm. You get to the end of the song and it's just like a American Teen. And there's like, you can hear like four or five guys and like one guitar.
Up. Yeah.
And they're messing up and they're not singing quote unquote good, right?
Yeah.
They're just having fun. I love that kind of decomposition at the end of a song. Like,
yeah.
It smoothly transitions into that, right?
I love that at the beginning, dude. I love it when it's just like, there's like a count off. There's one Maroon 5 song, like, where the drummer, he's counting it off and he counts it wrong. It's like, one, two, three. Oh, well, and then it just starts. And you're and then you're like already like, what? What was that?
Olivia Rodrigo, Get Him Back has a similar deal where he's like, like he kind of taps and he's like, wait, is this the song with the drums?
Yeah.
And it's like, I met a guy in the summer that met it. Like, it's so good.
What was that one TikTok song that was like,
I recognize it, but I don't know the name of it.
Well, at the beginning of that, he's like, I can't believe I forgot this melody. Like, in the song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the producer sings it for him.
That's right.
And he remembers it. And then it goes right into the beat. And I'm like, that's so brilliant, you know? Using the mistakes and like the fun energy of like the booth to like make it sort of like a community
or
effect.
When it like stops in the middle of a song and then it punches right back, like Paramore has a song like that where you think it ends and it's like, I can't believe we almost hung it up.
Boom, boom. Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's so good. Oh, I love music.
I love a break, you know.
I will say that for like the whole like false start intro thing, I like it if you can. When it's organic and when like, okay, yeah, they tracked this and this was a mistake. I can't stand it when, and I can't think of any examples right now, unfortunately, but I can't stand it when like, okay, this was pretty obviously staged. It's just part of the bit, which I can appreciate that attempt. It's definitely something that I would probably attempt, but I can't stand it. I'm sitting there, I'm like,
I mean, maybe I just don't realize it's not organic, but I guess I've always just been like, yeah, like what a fun little addition to the song.
I've heard it before. Like I said, I can't think of any examples, but I have heard it where it's like, okay. You were trying to do something there. You were trying to make a comedic bit out of this and a catchy kind of like intro or false start, but that was staged and it feels forced at that point.
You guys, you know, this podcast is actually staged.
Yeah.
We're not even in the same room right now.
Yeah. No, it's all Zoom. I was thinking, like, kind of just now that we're kind of riffing off of the subject, like, I was listening to Chasing Cars on the way here.
Oh, yeah. Which version?
What's the producer? Just like the radio version, the one that everyone knows.
That's Snow
like,
Patrol?
Yeah, I believe so. And like that song, I'm just thinking, like, it's literally two notes. And it's like, it does that the entire song. Like, why is that song so captivating? You know? Is it because it builds? Or is it because of the lyrical content? Is it because it provokes a feeling or an emotion? And it's like, if that song can, with two notes, guys, two mm-hmm. notes, that is like an iconic song. If I lay here, if I just lay.
Oh, that song. Yeah. I didn't know the name of it.
Just sit and just forget the world. And it's like, wow. You know, that why is that song so catchy?
It instantly transports you back to like
yes.
a memory of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for me, like it transports me back to like when I was a teenager, I was going to the art academy that I now have the ability and fortunate opportunity to go teach at. But when I was in high school, still there, the vocal music class did an a cappella version of that for their like final performance.
That's awesome.
And it was really great. That was one of the, if I remember right, that was one of the best years of the vocal class had. Like they just, everything was just clicking that year.
Yeah.
And the teacher, you know, everybody loved the teacher. And so it's like one of those memories for me to go back to. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's passed on now, so that adds to that memory too. Because right. I'm like, ah, oh. You know, it's one of those bittersweet, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean, there's so many different things that go into like music taste and what you like subjectively versus like what's good objectively. And at the end of the day, it's so hard to say like what's good objectively in art because art is so subjective. But I mean, yeah, I have the same thing with Put Your Records On by Corinne Bailey Rae. Like that song used to play in Panera and me and my friends would go study at Panera, just goof around and talk the entire time. But we would always like kind of sing the song together and like to that. That song just always just reminds me of like such a good time with my friends, my senior year mm-hmm. of high school. But it's a very simple, it's a very simple, simple song. But I also like, I don't know, there's some songs that I love that are just so simple mm-hmm. and like stripped down.
Yep.
And yeah. there's just sometimes so much beauty, even if the lyrics aren't something that are super like innovative. Like sometimes there's just something to be said about something that's
intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it makes you feel like you're just you and the artist, you know, and that's what they want. It's like different songs have different like functionalities as far as like that, like the slow. No, it doesn't even have to be slow. Just like the stripped songs give you that. Like I was listening to a song by Brass Tracks that just came out. Brass Tracks and Emmy did a song together. It's called You, Me, and the Devil. And it's literally just it's that like cool little piano intro that you said was in that song you were listening to. It's similar to that. And then lyrically, it just carries it. And then it has this like really up chorus. The song's only 2 minutes long. And mm-hmm. I'm like, why did I just feel like I went through like a 5-movement piece and mm-hmm. it's been 2 minutes? Well, it's because they grabbed me with that like in that like intimate force of the vocals and this beautiful grand piano. Mm. And then they just surprised me with this like, it's like I'm talking, it went from like Billie Eilish quiet to like just Brass Tracks, like loud horns and lots of layered vocals. And it was just very overwhelming. But it's like, this is, I'm not overwhelmed at the same time because this is beautiful. Like this is building and there's a purpose and it served that purpose. And it's like, I'm listening to it in the gym. I'm like, why am I listening to this in the gym? This is not a gym song.
I do miss, and I think that our modern time constraints make this harder to do, not impossible, mm-hmm. like the example you just gave.
Yeah.
But I do miss when you did have a little bit more of like movement in between pieces, kind of like what you described. Like, you know, obviously classical can do that all day because they have like no time constraints. You could have an hour long song and it's like, oh yeah, haha. You just have to sit there and listen to it.
That's
you know,
a piece. Yeah.
It's a piece.
Yeah.
You know, but even, you know, you don't have to take an hour to do that. But like longer songs have a little more ability to do some of that. you know, and maybe an album piece, you know, an album cut does. But where I miss songs that have kind of that huge arc where you can feel different moments and just the huge build in it, what that gives you just this huge musical and emotional payoff at the end of the song. One of my favorite artists that does this now, and I've probably brought them up on the show before. They were a huge inspiration musically to me when I wrote Burn Your Name, is Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah, I remember you talking about them.
Two of their songs, The Silence and I Know How to Speak, have these huge songwriting arcs. Mm-hmm. They start in one place and then they just get massive by the end of it. And I just absolutely love that movement in the song.
Yeah.
Now, The Silence, you know, before we started this episode, we kind of briefly talked about like mixing perspectives and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You have to keep that in mind when you mix, is this the overall dynamic of the song? Like, does the song need to grow or not? In my opinion, all songs need to grow somehow.
Yeah.
In the mix itself, not talking about the arrangement, not talking about the songwriting, but the mix has to be able to grow.
Yeah.
And I love where The Silence starts with the mix, but they captured that sound by use of heavy compression, which sounds really cool. But by the time you get to the end of the song, everything is still so compressed that it's like it didn't have anywhere in the mix to go. The songwriting and the production of it swell and get massive.
Yeah.
The mix clamps it down.
Just put it in a bottle.
Yeah. And it's like, ah. So, and for me, you know, coming from the engineering side of things, when that hit me, then I'm like, oh, I hear that for sure in this song. It made it harder for me to go back and listen to that, but that's just my nerdy side, you know. But I still absolutely go back and listen to I Know How to Speak, which does the same thing in the song and the arrangement, but then the mix also reflects that so beautifully in that song. I mean, it just, you just have this giant arc of different movements as the song goes on. Now, they don't change, like, okay, here's movement A, movement B, and these are totally different musical themes. It doesn't do that, although I would love to see an artist successfully pull that off better now. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there were some songs, I think, in the 90s that did that. Mm-hmm. Like, Come On, Eileen does that really well. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Tub Thumping by
Chumbawamba. Tub Thumping also does that. That's two different songs, but they both do the same kind of thing, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. They both have, like, a really big, like, A section, and then all of a sudden, boom, okay, here's a totally different musical theme.
Right.
Is it a chorus? No.
Yeah.
But it's not another verse.
Right.
It's just a different section.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. I like that kind of experimentation.
I do think you can find that a little more in albums. I think people really love interludes and intros.
Oh, yeah. That's popular now.
Yeah, interludes have become a really big thing that people have appreciated. But like you said, it just depends on, like, what kind of music you're listening to. Like, I guess if you're listening to pop music, but you're really invested into pop music, then yeah, you're probably listening to, like, you really appreciate a good interlude or something. But if you're into more of the classical kind of stuff, then that's just what you're listening to. And they're already doing that, slash have been doing that for years. So it just depends.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you just need to find your audience. And if you find that people aren't really listening to your song, like we always say, show it to other people. Show it to people that you know are going to give you constructive criticism, that will be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And just go from there, and how you can improve your songwriting from there on out.
Yeah, and discover what your song's purpose is. Like, your song has a purpose. Like, what is it? You know, is it to take people on that ride?
To Successfully Unsigned.
Exactly. That as well. Is it to take people on that ride? Is it to provide that intimacy? Find out what that purpose is for that song and utilize that. Do you guys have any other closing arguments?
No, I rest my case.
Rest my case. All right, let's end the episode with some Spottle. Oh, you got it. Nice. I got it pulled up. Give me an artist, Patty.
Spice Girls.
Okay.
Oh, we got three.
We got a lot. So it is a female. Genre is pop, and they are out of the UK. The debut is higher than 1996, though.
Okay.
So female pop from the UK.
Oh.
Popularity number 842. So out of
it's
what?
High.
It's higher than that.
Than 842.
The Spice Girls should be number one. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Number 800, whatever there, but number one in your heart.
Yeah.
Female.
I can't.
Is Natasha Bedingfield? Is she?
I think she's.
I think she might be.
I thought she was Canadian.
Oh. Well, we'll find out.
I'm not sure.
No, she's UK.
Is she UK?
Oh,
okay. And so, it's a
okay.
solo artist.
It's a solo artist, and it's higher than 2004 on the debut.
Okay.
So newer than 04.
So female.
It's British.
Pop. British.
Ah.
It's, solo.
It's your turn.
I don't know.
It's 2004. Higher than 2004.
Why can't I think of any British props? Oh, Dua Lipa.
Oh, that's a good one.
Italian makeup artists be like, just Dua Lipa.
Why are you doing this to me? Stop. What's going on? My phone's locking up.
Here, find the... I also have it pulled up. Okay, it's below... It's 2017.
Okay.
So older than 17, newer than 04.
Yes.
Yes.
Is yours working?
It's locking up on me.
Okay.
I've got nothing. I can't think of a single name.
Come on.
Who else is British? Charlie XCX. I feel like it's kind of close to... Oh! We're getting closer. Pretty
close. Okay.
So debuted...
Lower than 2013, but higher. Close to there.
Okay. Higher than what?
Chloe Kelly?
Is she?
She's not British.
I don't
know
where she's from.
I don't think she's British, but let's see. No, she's American. Higher than 2007, lower than 2013, though.
Well, but I'm assuming Natasha Bedingfield is also American.
No, she was British, but he already guessed that.
Oh, you already guessed Natasha Bedingfield. Oh.
Okay. How'd you miss that?
I don't know. I totally missed it.
Tove Lo. Let's try her. Okay. Oh, she's Swedish. I didn't realize that.
Okay. Mine's back up again.
Okay. You got any guesses?
What's your timer at?
Oh, mine's at a timer?
No, just what's the time?
Oh, I have four. Guess 5 out of 10.
Okay. Dang. Female pop artist. I mean...
UK.
I don't listen to a ton of UK pop.
And it's like they're
Would
pretty,
they consider Adele low? Pop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, higher than 2008,
but
too.
But lower than what?
2013.
Okay. Okay.
So we're narrowing in.
So it's in that like 2010 range, I feel like.
It was big in 2011.
I feel like it's going to be like
what is,
obvious when we see it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, no. I'm not going to say that.
If you have a guess,
what
drop
is,
it down in the comments.
Is Kesha? No.
No, she's American. American.
She's American. Okay. And then Lady Gaga is American.
She's American.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Her debut was a lot further back than, you know, 2008, if I remember right.
And it's pop. So we got to know this.
I mean, yeah. I don't listen to that much. I didn't listen
From
to that much pop at that. In that era, I wasn't listening to a lot of pop.
Dang.
I was listening mostly to whatever my dad had on the radio, which was probably country. A little bit of bluegrass, maybe some old jazz. So I'm pretty useless in this.
It's a solo, too.
Is it cheating to go on Spotify?
Maybe a little bit.
Oh, Jessie J? Maybe?
Just look up British artists. British female. Jessie J.
Okay, lower than 2011.
Okay.
So higher than 2008.
Yeah, so I bet it is 2010. Oh my goodness.
Oh, is it? No, Lorde was after, I think.
Yeah, Lorde was after.
Oh,
that.
And
she's not, Australian.
Yeah, no, she's New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Idiot.
Oh, my bad.
Hmm.
We're
yeah, look up
this.
British artists. British female artists.
Also at 28.
Oh, wow, we're at 28. Okay. I don't freaking know.
Lightning round.
We just have to guess random stuff. I don't even know. Just look up British artists. I don't know.
Charlie XCX.
I already tried that.
Lily Allen?
No, she was before 2009, I think.
This is saying here 2010.
Oh, maybe so then.
What about...
No, 2006.
Okay, well, the slide.
Oh my goodness.
Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine?
No, I think she was before.
I don't know if maybe she went off and did...
Nope.
Marianne.
Okay,
Faithful?
So it's 2010 is the year for sure. Because it just said higher than 2009.
Frick, I'm cheating. I don't even care.
What are you doing?
I've got nothing.
Okay, we'll probably just get out.
Okay. We'll have to do our outro now.
We lost?
I guess we lost.
We lost.
Well, then should we just put in different...
Ellie Goulding, maybe?
I thought she was American.
I typed it in because I'm cheating. Ellie Goulding? Yeah, 2010. Boom, it's Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding.
Last second. We did it.
Sort of cheated.
I cheated.
Okay.
It's fine, though. Ellie Goulding. Good job.
Well, thank you everybody for sticking out and helping us win here in the last few seconds.
Yes, thank you, Google.
As always, hit that like, hit subscribe. Let us know where you're listening from. We'd love to hear from you on our Instagram and TikTok page, successfully_unsigned and unsigned TikTok. Anything else, guys?
Too long of an outro.
It's okay.
You know, if we hadn't wasted so much time trying to figure out Ellie Goulding.
If you contributed more, then maybe we would have.
You
want to
take this outside? Let's go right now, man. Let's go.
Maybe if you had a business you were passionate about, you would know what it takes to run a business.
Oh,
get off of my couch. Let's fight.
Kim Kardashian.
Go listen to Successfully Unsigned until next time, and I can't even get through without stuttering.
Bye, guys. We love you.
See y'all.
Bye.